There was a time when what was called journalism featured investigation or research, with the goal being to reveal facts and truths that, well, some wanted to have hidden so they could be denied. My next guest is a veteran practitioner of that type of journalism, which quite a few people believe is becoming an endangered species, being replaced by opinions and playing to a specific audience just for approval. His new book takes you into both his professional and personal life to reveal what went into some of his most successful and as well educational work. His book is Assume Nothing, Encounters with Assassins, Spies, Presidents, and Would-Be Masters of the Universe, along with his work being featured in The New Yorker, Slate, Inc., and many other outlets. He's a author of 18 published books. Edward J. Epstein, how are you today, sir?
Everything is good today. Good weather, second day of spring. So I'm happy to be on your program.
And after quite a few years of life, finally telling your story, which I guess brings about the question, why have you waited so long? Because it's always a risk waiting until someone else tells your story.
Well, it's a risk, but I felt that after a documentary was made about me that was shown in the New York Film Festival, a very fair documentary, I should say, and I had collected all my diaries and my audio recordings and other material for that film, so I thought it's time to tell my own story, which I told as a memoir. It's not everything is in it. I tried to cover what was important to investigative journalism, what was important to understanding how major events like Watergate unfolded. But I didn't include, it's not an autobiography.
Odd thing, too, that might surprise people, your destiny wasn't always where you landed. You actually launched into a career of filmmaking, which, now, albeit for that experience, I think the world of journalism would have had a great loss if you never ventured into that element.
Well, there was very little risk that I would succeed in filmmaking. I was totally out of control when I was 20 years old, and I fell in love with a girl who wanted to play Helen of Troy, and I got this insane idea of making the Iliad just so she could play the role. And I somehow wound up with Mario Puzo, who later wrote The Godfather, writing the original treatment. And I went to Greece, and it was a pure disaster. I filmed about 8 hours of footage, and it was a disaster. So I went back to college. I happened to arrive back at college for an interview to get back in because I had been kicked out. When I arrived back, it was November 22nd, 1963, the day Kennedy was assassinated. So naturally that was on my mind and everyone's mind, and one thing led to another, and I soon was in a career of investigative journalism.
And certainly with your investigative reporting on the Kennedy assassination and your challenging of what was so quickly assumed to be facts, I guess it leads to the title of The Value of Assuming Nothing, does it not?
Yes. Well, at that time, I wasn't a journalist. I was an undergraduate, and I had an assignment to do a thesis on the Warren Commission, the august body of seven most powerful men in America who was going to tell us the truth about the Kennedy assassination. And they had spoken to no one, no journalist at least, and no one else. Okay, so, and by the way, they never have ever since. And I wrote them, each of the seven members, a letter. And all but one wrote back and said they'd be happy to see me and speak to me about how the government went about finding truth in the case of the Kennedy assassination. The one was Chief Justice Warren, who wrote me and said he couldn't see me because he had taken an oath of silence, but he recommended that I see the chief lawyer of the Warren Commission, someone called J. Lee Rankin. And that opened every door to me because I went to J. Lee Rankin, who was Solicitor General of the United States, and said, the Chief Justice recommends I see you. And that opened all the doors. So now I was, as I say, knowing nothing about journalism, never having worked for a school paper, and having no ambitions in that direction. Suddenly I was receiving the archives of and records of the Warren Commission that lawyers were talking to me about. How they went about determining how many bullets hit Kennedy and how they were trying to find out whether there was a Cuban or Russian or whatever conspiracy behind it. So in a year, I wound up having a thesis that turned out to be a best-selling book published by Viking called Inquest, The Warren Commission and the Establishment of the Truth. And therefore, and after that, I had no choices. I mean, I was a best-selling author, and so I continued writing books and writing for The New Yorker and other magazines.
Oh, with Edward Epstein, his newest book, Assume Nothing, Encounters with Assassins, Spies, Presidents, and Would-Be Masters in the Universe. You'll listen to Issues and Ideas. As you venture into journalism, what's more valuable, reliability or gaining trust?
Well, they go together. I mean, I think that for anyone to speak to you and tell you what actually happened, they have to trust you in a number of ways. I mean, they have to assume that you're going to accurately report what they say, and if they need protection, you're going to protect them as a source. So certainly trust is the most important thing. Reliability, of course, it makes no sense speaking to people that are unreliable, because when you get their story, you don't know whether it's a fact or fiction. But I found the most important thing was access. Nowadays, and I recently did a book on Edward Snowden, a man who stole a million point five files from the National Security Agency. And what I found then is getting access to people in the intelligence community, they were all surrounded by public relations and communications team. When I did this book, there was no such thing as public relations. I would call John J. McCloy or Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles had been the head of the CIA, and they would answer the phone themselves, and they would invite me to that terrace for, as Alan Dulles did, for tea with his wife. But nowadays, and that, you know, that was okay, 1966, and obviously that was 60 years ago. But in those 60 years, people learned the value of protecting themselves by having public relations teams or communications advisors. So getting through these walls that are put up are the most difficult task, I think, for today's investigative journalist.
As you dive into any of the stories that you feature in your book, Assume Nothing, which one at the outset was the most challenging for you to say, okay, I got a lot of doubts about this, but I have to keep going because I have to see the period at the end of this sentence?
You know, the first thing is in Assume Nothing is to avoid assuming the wrong thing and thus going off on a narrative that's been established by someone else. But in these cases, one of the most challenging cases was the war on heroin that happened under Richard Nixon and continued to today. The war on drugs today has expanded greatly. And there, the assumptions were that heroin and in general drugs were connected to the urban crime rate in the United States. And that was an assumption that no one challenged. And I, of course, managed to get the files of the war on drugs. They had a council on drug abuse prevention. I got their files, and I got the files of E.J. Crow, who will become famous again because he's in the HBO series The Plumber, at least an actor playing him. And he actually sold me his files for $2,000. And with those files, I saw that there was a huge question, the relation between drug use and crime. It wasn't an established fact. But that was the most challenging because everyone was against drugs, including myself. And everyone was against crime, including myself. So the idea of digging into an area that seemed to be helpful to everyone, in other words, a war on drugs, I found that it wasn't helpful and it was damaging to everyone, including the drug users and corrupted law enforcement, and led to international problems when we tried to impose a war on drugs on other countries like Turkey. So I would say the war on drugs and Nixon's war on drugs and my investigation of it, which turned out to be an investigation into Watergate, since all the key players were arrested in the Watergate scandal, and from the war on drugs to Watergate.
And also during his work in journalism, Mr. Epstein was a revealer before it was revealed. I'll tease you with that because I want you to buy assume nothing to find out what I'm talking about. And referencing Richard Nixon too, Mr. Epstein presents a wide panorama of Mr. Nixon, because there was a Nixon while in office, the Nixon after office, and quite frankly, there were two different Nixons. If you want to get down to at least how they were perceived. Last question, about 30 seconds here. What, if you want to give a state of the state of journalism today, what would some of your thoughts be?
Well, journalism is in great trouble from the cancel culture and all that goes with it, because the whole idea of journalism is to, in my view, is to challenge conventional wisdom, not accept it. But conventional wisdom is incorporated in political correctness. The whole idea is to be correct, to follow the line. So I think journalism, and the problem is not the journalist. The problem is that bosses, the networks, the corporate owners, even the editors, who don't want the problems of violating the conventional wisdom about political correctness. So the problem is not the journalist. It's their employers.
And also, too, if opposing viewpoints are absent in the one investigation, you're not going to get an accurate result in that investigation.
And that's true. There are opposing points. It's a perfectly legitimate thing to present the prevailing conventional wisdom. That's what journalists do. That's what most journalists do. But I think there's a role also for mavericks like myself to challenge the conventional wisdom.
And hopefully there's another generation that is seeing that, maybe through the various online sources that we see, that hopefully you listening are familiar with, where you don't go to where just heads nod, but heads think. That's what journalism is supposed to be about, and that's what Edward Epstein is the master of, as he reveals in his book, Assume Nothing, Encounters with Assassins, Spies, Presidents, and Would-Be Masters of the Universe. Mr. Epstein, an honor speaking with you, and a pleasure learning from you. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for your questions. They were extremely intelligent and insightful.